We're holding on Ayin Tes Amud Aleph with the Zach by the Mishnah. Continuing on this topic of throwing gittin, Aisai Medes HaRosh HaGag, the Mishnah says, the woman was standing on the top of a roof. Tosis points out that based on what we learned earlier on Ayin Zayin about, you know, about being in Sepodi and the Chotzer and Tveri or whatever, doesn't necessarily mean you have to be standing there per se, just that it's a Chotzer HaMishtameres, as the Gemara will talk about. She's standing on the roof with Zorkula, and he's standing down on the chotzer and throws the get up to her. Kibbutz Gila Avra Gag, then as soon as the get reaches the airspace of the roof, the Pasha of the Gemara is assuming that this, the Gemara is going to assume at this point that it just means someplace above the roof, even if it could be far above it. Hadriz Mugareshet, and then she's divorced. That's what we're going to talk about in the Gemara. That's where I'm saying the initial assumption. If it's the other way around, he's on top, he's on the roof, she's down below in the chotzer. He throws the get down into the chotzer. And once the get has left the airspace of the roof, even if on the way down to the chotzer it got erased or it got burnt, then she would be divorced. Again, we'll talk about it in the Gemara why. This business about it being erased or burnt, in principle, applies also in the first case, going up to the roof. Most of the Harshim learn then that way anyway. The difference is, practically speaking, you're usually going to have fires or basins of water that it might be erased in or whatever. You're going to have those on the chotzer more than on the roof, so that's the mission as it's using that. Okay, so Mark's the holy minter. How does that work? Minter means it's not guarded. If you have that it got into the airspace of the roof, the wind can go and blow it away before it ever lands. And therefore, you need to have Avir Shasofa Lanuach. So, okay, we discussed at the end of the Gemara yesterday whether if it's above a certain four amos or a certain space or whatever, is that good enough? Yeshlan Avir and Lan Avir, we said fine, but even if you... Okay, that was actually from the four amos, but whatever. You at least need to have, it has to be Avir Shasofa Lanuach. It has to be that it's going to be able to land there and stay there at least for some instant. Here, where it's up on the roof, you don't even know that it's destined to land in the first place. A gust of wind may blow it away. And therefore, Rashi says, even if the wind doesn't blow it, but let's say, for example, there's a dog up there that runs off with it or whatever, still, it's still not Shasofa Lanuach. It's still not destined to land on the roof. We're talking about a roof that has a fence around it. So as soon as it gets into that fence, then already it's going to be landing in there. We don't even need that necessarily. We can be talking about when the Mishnah says the airspace, doesn't mean that it's many feet above the air, above the roof. It means once it got to within three tefachim of the ground, of the roof. This second explanation says we don't even need a micah. If you don't have a micah, there are other mafarshim who explain the Bahalei Minter differently. Rashi is explaining it that the wind may pick it up and blow it away. There are other mafarshim who point out that who explain that no, the Gemara's question is just that it's not a chotzer a mishtameres. It's not a chotzer where the thing is going to be guarded. So one answer is if it has a micah, it is, and the other answer is once it gets within three tefachim of the roof, the chol pach mishlosh samachol gag to gag dummy that it's already considered like the roof. So then we can already consider it as if it landed. Again, Rashi takes it in the view that since the building itself is 10 tefachim tall, therefore the roof is considered a chotzer mishtameres. Anything that lands on there is considered mishtameres. So people don't just wander up there randomly.
And a roof that's 20 amos.
Doesn't matter. Anything above 10 amos. Here it's not a thing like the Minota or whatever where you have to be able to see it. And yeah, she's standing up there, remember? Yeah. The next case the Mishnah had is the other way around. The husband is on the roof and she's down on the ground, and he throws the get to her. So the Mishnah had said as soon as it leaves the airspace of the roof. Again, the question is, on the face of it, it's not guarded. If we assume, as it usually would be the case, that the roof is higher than the walls of the chotzer, so what do you mean as soon as it leaves the airspace of the roof? Again, Ein Sofer L'Nuach. Again, the one where as it's floating down into the chotzer, the wind may pick it up and blow it off. The case we would have over here is that the lower mechitzes overlap above the upper ones, meaning basically that you have a building over here with a roof, and let's assume it has a mica on top of it. The chotzer that's next to it or surrounding it or whatever, the Gemara is going to discuss soon, a couple of possibilities of the exact configuration, but whatever, the mechitzes, the chotzer, are higher than the mica of the roof. So as soon as you throw the get outside, well, as soon as it goes outside the mica of the roof, it's already at that point within the airspace of the chotzer. Not just within the airspace, it's within the walls of the chotzer. At that point, but the walls of the chotzer are higher than the walls of the binyan plus the mica. Yes. So therefore, as soon as it goes outside the fence, the mica around the roof, it's immediately already between the walls of the chotzer. So Rashi puts it like this, that therefore that when you have that, and what that accomplishes, basically, is that and Rashi uses the expression that the walls of the chotzer are meshubad to the roof, like the so to speak, like there's a shibud over there. Is that over here actually? Not over here actually. That's later on. Never mind. Okay. So actually, Tosfos discusses a couple of possibilities. Tosfos discusses a couple of possibilities as far as the configuration, because on the face of it, Tosfos says if you have that, so the building is here, the chotzer is here, so fine, the walls of the chotzer are taller than the building. How does that help? You still have one side of the chotzer that's open, that's where it's not as high. So Tosfos gives a couple of possibilities. One is that if you have three taller walls, we don't.
One side of the chotzer is not open.
It is because the walls of the chotzer. We're talking about, in other words, that so if you have the building is here and the chotzer is here, so fine, the walls of the chotzer are very tall, are much taller than the building. The fact is, when you throw it out the building, it's going into an area where you have it surrounded by three walls, but the fourth wall is open, namely the wall, the direction you just threw it from. Why should we say that that's minter? Why should we say that that's considered a garden and it's not going to blow away?
How far away does the wall of the chutzner have to be from the wall of the...
Well, that's close to this question, basically, is that on the face of it, you have the fourth wall is open. So this gives a few possibilities. One is that once you have the chotzer surrounded by three sides, we're not so worried about the fourth side. Or Tosfos says another possibility you could have. Who says the building and the chotzer are the same width? The building could be narrow, the chotzer could be wide. So most of the fourth, or even you could have the building inside the chotzer, whatever it is, you can have that most, if not all, of the fourth side is also closed up.
You could say, by extension, I'd say in Yerushalayim, the walls of Chatzim are the walls of the city, and everything else is...
The city is not Hur Rishus, though. It has to be in Hur Rishus.
Yes, so that's why I'm asking, how far is the wall of the Chatzim?
Doesn't matter. As long as the Chatzim is Hur Rishus, so as long as he gave her the use of it, yeah. So that's so just turn out for Salah Yonis. So the walls of the chotzer are larger than the walls of the larger than the walls of the house. V'chein Ula Amar Rav Yechanan, and so Ula said the same thing in the name of Rav Yechanan. Who are you saying this like? This that you're saying that once it goes into the area surrounded by the walls of the chotzer, it's already considered as if it landed. To Rebbe. You're saying that only like Rebbe, the Omar, who says in connection with Hilchos Shabbos, Kluta Kemishohon Chatamya, once you have something Kluta grabbed into a certain airspace, it's considered between the walls of a structure or whatever. It's command commission chadamia. It's considered as if it already landed. So Okay, so Rashi explains the scenario is as follows. The Gemara tells us, the Mishnah tells us in Shabbos, a person throws something from one Rishus Rabim to out, a person throws something from one Rishus Rabim through a house, or a chutz, or what have you, and it goes all the way through, and it lands in another Rishus Rabim at the other end. Rebbe would say, Yuchayev. Why? Because you carry from Rishus Yachin, from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachin, and again from Rishus Yachin to Rishus Rabim. He considers it as though, because it passed through Rishus Yachin, it's as if it landed there momentarily. So you have one transfer from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachin, another from Rishus Yachin to Rishus Rabim, Yuchayev. Where the Chachamim say you're potter, because the fact is it didn't land there.
In Shabbos?
In Shabbos, yeah. So you're telling me that it's considered as though this guest already landed on the Chatzar. That seems to be like Rebbe. Okay, Tosfos says that technically actually not exactly like Rebbe, really, because Rebbe holds, the Gemara explains over there, that Rebbe holds his opinion really only when it comes to a house or something like that that has a roof. There you can say, he says, because really what he says is we imagine as though the whole house is filled up to the rafters. So therefore, it's as if it's a solid block rather than having space in the middle of it. So Tosfos says, okay, we don't really mean like Rebbe. We're using him as a rough approximation. Really, what it is the opinion of Rebbe Akiva, who would say it doesn't matter whether it has a roof or not. In the case of a chutz, it doesn't have a roof. So okay, really, we'd have to be talking according to Rebbe Akiva. But whatever. The point is, it's only a daf yachid. You don't want to assume the Mishnah is only talking like that. I'm going to ask you the Tamir Rabbanon. So the answer is no. You could even say it goes according to the Rabbanon. Because I'd commonly figure Rabbanon alay the Rebbe Ella in Shabbos. Because the Rabbanon only disagree with Rebbe when it comes to the Jinim of Shabbos. Abol Hocha, but over here with a get. It's not a matter of Rishus or whatever. Mishum in Turihu. It's a matter of, is it able to be guarded? Is the wind going to pick it up and blow it out of the Chatzar? V'hokaminta. And the fact is, because the walls of the Chatzar are higher, therefore it's unlikely that the wind is going to pick it up and blow it out of the chutzah. The pashtus is going to land. It's going to land down on the ground. Rav Asi reported the same answer in the name of Rav Yechanan that we're talking about, that the mechitzas of the chutzah are larger, are higher than the mechitzas of the roof.
So that's
And Amalei Rav Zeira lo Rav Asi, and again Rav Zeira asked Rav Asi the same question. So the same question that Rav Abba asked, Ulo Rav Zeira asked Rav Asi, and again Amalei after the Tamer Rabbanon, he says no. You can even say it's a coincidence of Rabbanon. I've come with Tzvi Rabbanon Alei Di Rabbi Elin in Shabbos. Aval Hacham Mishum in Turihu. Here is a matter of that needs to be guarded, that it doesn't blow away. V'Hacham Inter, and it is guarded. Next, the Mishnah continued Nimchak. That if we said that you're throwing it from the roof down onto the ground, and on the way down it got erased. So, for example, it started raining and their ink ran. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravo, loishonu ela shenimchak derech yirida. This is only talking about if it got erased as it's on the way down. So when you're throwing it off the roof, you start by throwing it upward to clear the mica, and then it starts floating down. If it gets erased on the way down, then you're still good, because at least when it left the roof, it was still intact. But if it got erased as it's going up, so you have the scenario that we said before. You have the mechitzas of the chatzar are higher than the mechitzas of the roof. But we threw the get upwards. It passed the space of the roof, but it's still going up. Then it got erased at that point before it started turning downward. No good. Look, my time of ikra loy lemeinachkoi, because then at that point it was never destined to land still intact. Like this, if it starts falling, then at least it's going to land someplace in the chutzar, and it would have landed intact, except that all of a sudden a rainstorm came. But like this, if it came while it was still going upward, then it was never even going to land still as a readable yet. Mishnah continued Nisraf, that if the get was burnt on the way down. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravor, Loishanu Ela Shekadam Get Ledleika. This is only if the get was thrown down before the fire was lit in the chutzar. So therefore, when he threw it, it was going to land on a bare spot in the chutzar, or whatever, on a spot where there's no fire, where it's not going to get burnt. All of a sudden, as he's throwing it, all of a sudden a fire was lit, and therefore wound up landing in the fire. Avakadma, later the get, but if the fire was there before the get, then no. If the fire was there before the get, then no. My time again, the Ikra illustrated for causal, which is the same similar logic to the previous thing, because it's destined to go and get burnt in the first place. So it's the case, it's like the case yesterday of her holding her hand on a slant and the get landing on her hand and falling into the river.
Why do we need the two cases?
Because they're two different things. One is talking about when it's going upward, and the other is talking about it's already on its way down, but it's on its way down going into a fire that's already there. Omer Rav Chisda, Rishuyas Chalukas Begitin. There's a separation of Rishuyas when it comes to Gittin. Namely, we learned yesterday, we talked about the case where the husband lent her his chaser to receive the get, but then there's a pislo, there's a block of wood over there. So Rav Chisda is saying a similar idea. If the husband, for example, lent her a place in his chaser to receive her get, that doesn't include his house or his roof or whatever. So there's a separation of Rishuyas as far as Gittin. It has to be that the only Rishuyas that he was willing to lend her for it is what counts. Where does the old elder Talmud Chacham, where does he get this from? Rami Bachama and Rava, by the way, were both sons-in-law of Rav Chisda. They're both sons-in-law, and they married the same girl. Rami Bachama married her. Rav Chisda's daughter. He, I think, either passed away or divorced her, I don't remember which, and Rava married her. So that's what they're calling him, Sava, the elder Talmud Chacham. Like he's going to be one or the other of our fathers-in-law, yeah. So where does he get this from? Omalei Masnizin. He said, Rava tells him, we see from our Mishnah. We said, if she's standing on the roof and he throws it to her, we said, as soon as the get reaches the airspace of the roof, and she's Megureshes. So Ramaya Skin, and what kind of case? Who does the roof belong to and who does the chatzah belong to? Elaim Bagag Didah Bachatzah Didah. Are we talking about that the roof belongs to her and the chatzah also belongs to her? What do you need? It reached the airspace of the roof. And if he throws it and it lands in the chatzah, it would also be good to her chatzah. El Bagag Didah Bachatzah Didah. So you're talking about then the roof belongs to him and the chatzah belongs to him. How does it help if it reaches the airspace of the roof? It's not her place. It's not her place. Okay, if she's standing there, she'll have dalamas. Obviously, we must be talking about the chotzer belongs to him, the roof belongs to her, so he's throwing it from his rishus to her rishus. And that's what we're saying. That's what Rav Chisda is saying. Rishus, chalukas, the gittin. There's a difference as far as which rishus belongs to which one. So He didn't lend her his chatzah because he didn't intend for the get to land in the chatzah. He intended for it to land on the roof. Therefore, the lands in the chatzah are no good. Okay, Ema say for the Gemara says fine. If you're going to say that, look at the next part of the Mishnah. Whom will mile of the heathen will not be the other way around. He's above, she's below, and he throws the turk. Given she up to Mishnah, a gag nimchak and nifras are nisrefayz and megureshes. So then, once it leaves the airspace of the roof, we don't care what happens to it. The ibig gag didav a chotzer diday. So if you're going to tell me the roof belongs to her and the chotzer belongs to him, I'm megureshes. Why? It's going to land in a chotzer which belongs to him. You would have to assume the roof belongs to him, the chatzah belongs to her. The problem with that is, what's the logic to assume that the Mishnah is telling us about two opposite cases, one where she owns the roof and he owns the chatzah, one the other way around, without telling us so? All of this was getting to the proof that Rav Chisda is getting from. It was a question and answer, but it was all a question and answer as part of getting to how Rav Chisda must be understanding the Mishnah. Rami Bachama is arguing, or Rava is arguing, given that. On the face of it, you can't explain the Mishnah to be talking about two separate cases, one where she owns the roof, one where he owns the roof, then we have to assume, Elalab, the Oishlamakim, we must be assuming that everything belongs to him, the Chotzer and the roof. He lent her a spot, the Chad Makim Moshli, and she trained with him as Moshli, and she people will be willing to lend out one, not unless they specify two. So that would be what Rav Chisda is saying. Rav Shriya's chalukas begitzin. The roof belongs to him. The chasa belongs to him. However, for example, she's standing on the roof. He's throwing her get on the assumption it's going to land on the roof, so it's going to get into the airspace of the roof or whatever, and therefore he's lending her that spot for the moment. He's lending her the roof. However, he's not lending her the chasa. So therefore, if it lands in the chasa, no good. If it's going from the roof to the chasser, vice versa. He's lending her a spot in the chasser. It lands on the roof. She's in the chasser, but it lands on the roof, or if it falls someplace in the chasser where it gets destroyed or whatever, then no good. Because we don't assume that he's willing to lend her two places. It has to actually land someplace in the chasser. So that would be what Rav Chisda is saying. Rav Shriya's chalukas. Even though the roof and the chasser all belong to him, you would think he doesn't care. Wherever it lands, I'm willing to lend that to her. No, we would assume that he's only lending her one of those two rishonis. Okay. Omalei, so Rami Bachama tells him, what's the proof in that? Media here, yeah. What kind of a proof is that? Look, Juma Hakadisa, the Hakadisa. No, you could say that the Mishnah is talking about two disjoint cases, each one in the appropriate way. Reisha begagdi da v'chatzav yidei, sefer begagdi dei v'chatzav yidei. It could be that we're talking about that the chatzar and the roof belong to two different parties. Okay, the Mishnah doesn't specify because the Mishnah assumes that we can figure it out for ourselves. But yeah, you can't necessarily prove from that everything belongs to the husband and he's just letting it to her. Maybe not. That was Rava's point, because it's not so obvious. But, okay. You don't have to understand the Mishnah the way you're understanding it. You could understand it more straightforwardly. Okay, so the Mishnah didn't specify in the first case the roof belongs to her, and in the second case the roof belongs to him, because you could argue that it's fairly obvious.
Fairly obvious. If she did that in one, you should be able to do that in the other without having to be mentioned.
Okay, that's the point. Omar Rabba, Sholosh Midas Vegitin. There's three middos when it comes to gittin, meaning that unlike other dinim that involve rishuyas, in particular the dinim of Shabbos, the dinim of gittin are different in three ways. Number one, hadamer Rabbi kulta kamisha honcho pligir ablanan alei. Number one, we mentioned earlier on the Amud, that Rabbi holds that if you have something that gets into the airspace of an area, a house, for example, then it's considered as if it already landed there. We'll pligir Rabbanan alei, and we see that the Rabbanan disagree with him and say that in that case he'd be potter. Hadi milu in Shabbos, that's only when it comes to Shabbos. Aval hacham, mishum inturi ho v'haminta. In the case of a get, the key thing is not whether it's in Rosh Hashanah Yachad or Rosh Hashanah Rabin. The key thing is it in a place where it's guarded, where it's not going to blow away or what have you. And since it's in the space of a chaser, as we said, that where the walls of a chaser are taller than the walls of the house, it is minter, so we're good. That's number one. Number two, v'hadamer Rav Chisda, not kana b'rishus ha'yachad of Rosh Hashanah. Number two, a din that Rav Chisda says in Hilchos Shabbos, if a person sticks a tall stick into the ground in a chatzah, in a rishus ha'yachad, in a chatzah, for example, over Rosh Hashanah, on top of this tall stick is a chaskel, a basket, v'zorach v'nocha gabav, and then he goes from Rosh Hashanah Rabim and throws something, and it lands in that basket. I feel a gavoya mea amma, even if the stick and the basket are 100 amas tall, chayev. Well, because what it is because it's Rosh Hashanah Yachad Ola Ad L'Rokia. We're in Rosh Hashanah Rabin, Rosh Hashanah Rabin only goes up to 10 amas. Above 10 amas in Rosh Hashanah Rabin is Makom Patur. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah Yachad, there's no limit. Rosh Hashanah Yachad goes all the way up to the sky. Therefore, even if the stick with traskel is 100 amas tall, if he's through from Rosh Hashanah and then it landed it, okay, through from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Yachad, he's chayav. The fish of Rosh Hashanah Yachad or Elab L'Rakia, because Rosh Hashanah goes up to the sky. So again, there's a difference between Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Gittin. Hani Milu L'Inyan Shabbos, this would only be true as far as Shabbos, that we consider it that it's lying in Rosh Hashanah Yachad, and therefore he's chayav. Adol Hocham, Mishum Inturihu, but over here, when it comes to a get, if you had a similar scenario with a get, that she had stuck a pole into the ground and her father with a basket on top of it, and he threw the get and it landed in that basket. Mishum Inturihu, it has to be guarded, but Holy Minter, and it's not guarded because the wind is gonna blow it right out of the walls of the basket. It's 100 amas tall. Yeah, there's nothing surrounding it. Yes, the wind probably is going to blow it out. Rashi puts it in terms like this: she'ain sofer l'nuach la'orav. Ultimately, when you have with the basket, why do we consider it that the guy is chayev? Because we consider the basket is basically an extension of the ground. Fundamentally, it's the chaser itself that the Rosh Hashanah. When we talk about the traskel over here, the traskel itself may not even be four by four amas. But because it's stuck on a pole which is attached to the ground, or not even attached, whatever, on a pole which is standing on the ground, therefore it's considered as though the object has landed on the ground. The whole thing is considered like one unit with the ground. When it comes to a get, though, the fact that the get landed in this basket, in this traskel, is probably not going to end up landing on the ground. As soon as it lands there, it's going to blow away. Therefore, you can't consider it minter. And therefore, it's not a good get. That's number two. Number three, v'hadu amr of Yehuda amr Shmuel, lo yamad adam begag zeh, yikad meg shum megagah shachameh, right? Number three is a case that Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, in connection with Hilchos Shabbos, a person is not allowed to stand on one roof and collect water that's flowing on his neighbor's roof. Shekshem should be, unless they made an Eruv. Shekshem should be Yurin Chalukin Milamata, Kafka Yurin Chalukin Milamayla. Because the same division between the residents that you have below, the same way as you're not allowed to carry something from one person's house to the other on Shabbos, unless they made an Eruv. The same thing applies to the roofs as well. They're also considered separate rishuyos. So again, Hanimil Inyan Shabbos. This is only talking about as far as the dinim of Shabbos. But when it comes to a get. So Rashi learns the scenario over here that we're talking about over here. The husband owned two houses next to each other, each one with their roof. She's standing on one, and he's lending her that spot, that roof, to receive her get. Instead, it landed on the other roof. There we would not say Retrius Chalukas. A house and a chotzer are considered two distinct things. So Rechis had said before that if he lends her the roof, he's not lending her the chotzer, and vice versa. They're two completely distinct things. It's a matter of kapeya. It's a matter of he would object to lending out the other one without specifically knowing that he has to. Because a chaser and a roof, each one have their own use. But it's a matter of kapeda. But kula highlight top the inch, people are not so mocked on that kind of thing. That's one roof, another roof, big deal. People don't use their roofs as much anyhow, so therefore he won't mind so much if he ends up having to have lent out one roof rather than one roof rather than the other roof, whatever. Just long enough for her to receive again.
And you would be machpid for Shabbos.
No, it's not for Shabbos. It's not a matter of being machpid. For Shabbos, it's a matter of each one is its own rishus. Now, with that said, Tosfos asks that we learn in Eruvin. In Eruvin, you have a machlokas between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim about roofs in general. Reb Shimon holds that all the roofs in a city are considered one rishus. And therefore he holds, for example, like even without an Eruv, if you had something which started out on one roof, you can bring it to another roof and then to another, and so forth, also Chaseros, also Kapefes, whatever. Shmuel says the halacha is like him. Okay, Tosfos starts by saying that, you know what, what's the basic machlokes between Reb Shimon and the Rabbanan? Reb Shimon agrees that if you have something start out on one roof, you can't bring it into the house, or from there into another house or whatever. If you're going to move it around, it has to be among the roofs or the kachefis or whatever themselves. So fine, when we say over here that when Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is saying that you can't take rainwater from one roof to another roof, he doesn't point to Reb Shimon, you can take it from one roof to another roof, fine. You just can't bring it into your house. Whereas according to the Chachamim, you can't take it in the first place. Tosfos further discusses a couple of possibilities about the difference. Are we talking about roofs that are the same height? Are they talking about different heights? Does that make a difference? Well, let's just discuss the details of it. That the truth is that Tosfos says really, I mean the halacha is like Rav anyway, that you have to have the chitzis nitaris. You have to have that the walls. The individual roofs have to have mitres, have to have a fence around them in order for the halacha to be like a shimon to be able to carry from one to the other. If you just have, for example, you have two houses adjacent to each other and no mica between them, then you can't carry from one. You can't carry. Let me rephrase that. Sorry. You have the machlokas of Rav Shimon and the Rabbanan. Within the Rabbanan, what is Tosfos saying over here? If the roof has a mica around it, then Shmuel would say over there that Rav Shimon would even allow you to take something that started out on your roof and bring it into your house. Shmuel says you don't even need a mica. The very fact that the house has walls allows you to, those are considered as virtual walls around, as though they extend up around the roof. Therefore, you could take something from the roof and bring it into the house, even according to the Rabbanan. The halacha in that is like Rav, that you need mechitzas and ikaris. In order for a roof to be considered an enclosed area, it has to have walls of its own. So therefore, if you had two roofs that were next to each other and there was no mica between them, according to the Chachamim, you couldn't take something from one roof to another. And according to Rav Shimon, you could take it from one roof to another, but then you can't bring it down into the house unless there's mechitzas and ikaris for each roof individually.
What's the point of having ikaris?
Because then that makes it that each roof is a defined area. So, Tosfos finishes up by saying that even something like what the Gemara is saying over here is even rain, it never actually stayed in one place on the roof. It's flowing on the roof. Nevertheless, though, you'd still have that the Rabbanan would say that you still can't take it from one roof to another, and Rav Shimon would say you can take it from one roof to another, but you still can't bring it down to the house. How much more so when it came to a keli that actually was there before Shabbos, where again, according to the Chacham, you couldn't bring it across, and according to Rav Shimon, you could, just not into the house. Anyway, all that only applies to Shabbos, but not to Gittin, because by Gittin, it's a matter of Kepega. The Rambam, by the way, has a unique shitta about this business of the two roofs. The Rambam explains, we're not even talking about, like it actually says, where both roofs belong to the husband, and he lent out one and not the other. We're talking about the roofs belong to different people. The one roof belongs to the husband, the other belongs to some third party. The husband threw the get. He intended for it to land on his roof, where she's standing, and he lent that spot to her to receive the get. It landed on the next person's roof. As long as she can reach it, like Kapti Inchi, the average person is not going to mind you reaching over to get something of yours that landed on their roof, and therefore it would be a valid get, according to the Rambam. As opposed to Hilchos Shabbos, again, where that wouldn't be the case. If you have two chatzeres, one inside the other, so literally inside, the outer chatzer surrounds the inner one, the inner chatzer belongs to her, the outer chatzer belongs to him. Now the walls of the outer chatzer, which is his chatzer, are higher than the walls of the inner chatzer, v'zokela, and then he's standing in the outer chatzer and throwing it to the inner chatzer, to hers. Kivin shigil, or he's standing, actually he's not even standing in the chatzer, he's standing outside his chatzer. Kivin shigil, avar mechitzes achitzoina, harezim gurashes. Then all it has to do is it has to reach within the walls of the outer chatzer, even though the outer chatzer doesn't belong to her, only the inner one does. My time, because the inner chotzer itself is guarded from wind gusts or whatever by the walls of the outer chotzer. So Rashi puts it in terms that the walls of the outer chotzer are meshubad. The inner chotzer depends on the outer wall, therefore it's like there's a shibud between the outer and the inner one. Church just says not really a shibud per se. It's more a matter of, as a practical matter, Even if there's no official shibud, they never made any such deal between them. But practically speaking, yeah, she has to use it. Well, she does have to pass through, but that's not the point. Then you would only say the area where, then you would only say the path that she uses. But no, we're saying that even if there's no actual shibud, practically speaking, the outer walls prevent any wind gusts from getting to the inner one. Because the inner one is guarded from wind using the walls of the outer one. Masha'enkin the kupas. Now, this is not true, because Abaya continues, if it comes to baskets. Namely, shtei kupas zuba sechzu, if you have two baskets, one inside the other, pnimis shalav chatzon shaloy, again, the inner basket belongs to her, the outer basket belongs to him, v'zokala, and he throws the get, then afilu higila abu pnimis en v'gureshes, then even if the get reaches the airspace of her basket, the inner basket, then she's not v'gureshes. My time of the holy noch, because it didn't land. And well, we mean before, in other words, before it lands. Unlike a chotzer,
eventually it didn't land.
No, eventually it lands. No, because you could have a case. No, in other words, that.
Oh, you mean it was diverted before landing?
It was diverted before landing, or it was burnt, or yeah, whatever, yeah.
The other chitzes are even higher than the
matter. That
the wind comes and it goes away.
Whatever, it doesn't have to be that it flew out. It could be, for example, that, you know, it could be, you know, it's on its way to land into the inner one, but before it actually landed there, somebody yanked it away.
Oh, boom,
yeah, whatever, yeah. The difference is that a chotzer, all we care about is that it should be, eventually it's going to land there. The fact that unexpectedly something came and diverted it, we're not worried about that. As long as without that external factor it was going to land there, then it's good. A keli is made to actually place something inside it. A keli is not just something where you want the thing to not blow away from it. It's supposed to be used to actually something to actually land in it. So until the thing actually lands, you haven't accomplished what you need to. Question is not my havi. So what are you implying? That when it lands in the keli, in the inner keli, that she will be megureshes. My havi, how does that help? You're back to the problem that we discussed yesterday. Caleb shall lekeach b'shus meicho. It's a case of the keli of the lekeach is in the reshus of the. But we didn't. We left it. We said we couldn't prove it from the Mishnah. We couldn't prove it from Rava's statement. We didn't have a proof one way or the other. So again, you should have to say that this
is not a keli.
What?
Not a keli. It wasn't a keli.
No, in the case of the bed, we said it was a keli, it's a 10-tefachim tall, and therefore he can use the space underneath it, so therefore he's not makbid on it.
Right.
But over here, the chura, we're talking about, the outer keli belongs to him, the inner keli, which is hers, is inside that, so therefore it's birshus mocha. Yes, but we're talking about over here specifically where the basket, the outer basket has no bottom. So we're not talking about, we assume that it meant you have an outer basket and then on top of it you have sitting an inner basket. No, you're talking about the outer basket has no bottom. The inner box has one, yeah. But the outer one does not. The outer one is a donut shaped thing, let's say.
So how do you pour the basket?
Because it is. It's a basket. It has. That's what I'm saying. It's donut shaped. It has a big hole in the middle. But it has a thing around the edges that can hold things. So therefore, it's not virtual. Therefore, it's not virtual smocher.
Support on the top one stands in that basket. It doesn't fall through.
It's on the ground.
And the kupas being on the ground.
The kupas is on the ground.
No, what's the virtual?
Could be in his rishus, let's say. If it's
so
in his...
still the
tail of rishus,
right,
okay, fine. Fine. Let's say it's in rishus rabim, it's a simta, whatever. Okay, so it's not a space that belongs to either one of them. So the only issue would be the mechitzis of his basket. If the basket itself is shaped like a donut, so you have the channel running around the outside, but the middle of it is empty, and then you place another basket inside that one, then okay, then it's not vicious motor. There's actually a couple of different. That's how Rashi draws out the scenario. There's a couple of other Rishonim who discuss other possibilities of how exactly it might be. Mishnah says, "B'shamarim poter adam ishte beget yoshen." A person is allowed to divorce his wife using a get yoshen. So get yoshen, we've talked about before, is where the get was written, and after it was written, he was in yichud with her. B'shamarim is saying you're allowed to still use that. You're still allowed to use that for divorce. Or with some of the civil says you're not. They say, get Yashin Koshin. Get Yashin is where they were in Yichud after he wrote the get. That's his mind. What's the underlying machlokes? The Shammai Sabri
wrote it.
If he gave it to her, then obviously she's a good actually. We're not talking about that. He wrote the get. He didn't yet give it to her. And after the writing of the get, the writing and the dating of the get, after that he was in Yichud with her. So Meshama Sabri Loyamrinan Gzera Shamayem Gita Kedim Lubna. Meshama says we don't make a Gzera that people may think that the get came before her child, as we discussed previously, that later on she's going to turn up pregnant. People are going to think that, people are going to look at the date of the get, they're going to compare that with when the baby is born, and figure that the baby was conceived out of wedlock, which, okay, doesn't make the baby possible per se, but it's still a pagam. Actually, there's a point. What if the guy is a Kohen? The guy is a Kohen. People are going to think that the baby is a Cholol because his mother was divorced, and then yeah. So Bishama is not worried about that. Basil is concerned about that. Especially, Rashi points out. I mean, you don't even have. Yeah, I mean, if he were to give her the get shortly after the fact, okay, it might not be such an issue. Not necessarily are people going to calculate backwards and realize when the conception was. It actually points out, after you write a get, you may hold on to it for a long time before you actually give it to her. That's more than enough time for her to have children. And people
would understand?
Well, so that the thing is, that much later, remember, in those times, people commonly kept their get for a long time. It wasn't like nowadays where you rip it up afterwards and give her a receipt. So later on, much later, people are going to look at her get, compare that with the birth dates of her children, and then say to themselves, hey, wait a minute, these children were born only long, long after she was divorced. What's going on over here? Tosfos has an interesting, Tosfos brings an interesting thing from the Yerushalmi. Why Taka is Bishamai not worried about this? Because we're going to learn in the last Mishnah of the Masechta, Bishamai and Basil argue about what are the valid grounds for divorce. Bishamai says that a person is only allowed to divorce his wife if Matzaba Erbas Dover. He found that she was behaving in an unsneistic way. Well, therefore, Bishamai figures if that's the only reason that he can divorce her in the first place, once that happens, Mizuhemeth, he may know. She's going to be disgusting. She's going to be repulsive in his eyes. It's unlikely then that he's going to want to, even if they're in Yichud together, it's unlikely that he's going to take advantage of that and they're going to have relations because he doesn't like her anymore anyway for what she did. Whereas Basilo, who takes the view over there, that even if she burnt his food, then he's able to, they would say that, okay, then there's still the possibility they may reconcile and then Nubia. Amar Abba Amashmul, in Nisus Laitetze, even according to Basilo, if she remarried using the Get Yashin, we don't force her to divorce her second husband. The Ikadamri, or another version, Amar of Abba Amashmul. No, even more than that, if she did get divorced with a get yoshan, she can even get remarried lachatchila. Because Sardashi says that we're specifically talking about the case where her husband went to Medina Sayyam. We don't want to leave her in Aguna. If he's still in town, write her a new get. Don't make do with a get yoshan. But if he went to Medina Sayyam, then we'll be make on her and say that even lachatchila, she can get remarried. One thing is that the post can point out there is a difference in that regard whether he gave her the get personally or through a shliach. If he gave it to her personally, that's what the Gemara is saying over here. That then she can we're not worried about the possibilities of get yoshan, and therefore she can go ahead and get remarried. But if he gave it to her through a shliach and then afterwards he was in yichud with her, then no. Those are scenarios that we've learned earlier in the Masechta, where he sends it through a shliach, and afterwards you would have the problem of get yoshan. Actually, for example, previously we have had a couple of times where Rashi mentioned the possibility that the Shema Pius And Rashi always learns that the problem is get yoshen. That's based on this. So there's a difference between get yoshen if he gave it to her personally or to a shliach. Where if he gave it through a shliach, then she can't. Then she can't use that to remarry. The difference is that what's the difference? If he gave it to her himself, we're not so worried that between the writing it and the giving it to her, that he's personally giving it to her, we're not worried that he was misyachid and that he was baal and so forth. But if he's sending it through a shliach after he sent it with the shliach, okay, he may not be formally be mevatelet per se, but it's not a definitive thing, like sort of. So therefore, he may still feel the ability. Actually, we're going to talk in a couple of days. We're going to talk about a different scenario where there was yichud, and we have to be concerned about bia. There, we're going to make a distinction between whether she was an arusa or a nesua. If she's a nesua, then they already have a close relationship, and therefore we're concerned that they may rekindle it. Whereas if she's an arusa, then they're not. Then we're not that much into it. Then we don't. But it's not quite the same thing as here, because here we're not making that distinction.